This episode is brought to you by Bloat Games.
Hiya folks, Old Man Grognard here. If you're looking for games that combine the classic RPG feel with the light, concise rule set of today's indie games in a variety of genres, you gotta check out Bloat Games. Their Survive This rules take a cue from the old school games of yore and combine them with a stripped down but easy to understand mechanic that plays fast and fun, giving you an exciting, thrilling game session every time. Whether it's fighting off zombies, swinging a great axe and slinging spells in dark, dangerous, creature-filled forests, riding your 10-speed bike through monster-infested suburbs, or keeping the city streets safe from superpowered menaces, the Survive This system is the one that'll keep your players coming back to the table. Check out these great RPGs, in addition to card games and other fantastic things they offer, at bloatgames.squarespace.com or at drivethroughrpg.com. Bloat Games. The worlds are fiction, but the fun is real.
Abandon all hope, listeners. You're listening to Radio Grognard, the OSR podcast about stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hiya folks, Old Man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. I am. It's a nice day out. And today, before we start, we got a voicemail from Mr. John Allen Large over at Red Dice Diaries about my skills episode. Go ahead, John.
Hey there, Glenn. It's John here from the Red Dice Diaries. I'm just listening to your Skills for Scoundrels episode, and I thought I'd drop you a message with my favorite sort of skill system, I suppose, and that is Castles and Crusades by Trolllord Games. And basically in that, instead of using actual skills, everything comes down to like a test based on your an attribute bonus from one of like the big six attributes. And if it's something that your class is particularly sort of adept in, then you get to add your level to it as well, which means that everyone sort of starts off roughly at the same sort of level. You know, if you're a level one thief, you're adding a plus one to it and your dex. So if you've got like a dexterous fighter, they're only going to be like one behind you. But as you go up in levels, the classes really start to diverge and they start to become better at their particular sort of like niche. And yeah, this means it requires a little bit of adjudication from the GM as to what fits into sort of like each class's sort of area of expertise. But it's not too difficult and it's a very simple system. And I don't think it'd take a great deal to adapt it to like the sort of like secondary background or profession sort of thing. If you just say, oh, you also get to add your level if you're covered by your secondary profession or whatever that is. So that's my favorite sort of skill in inverted commas system. Really enjoy the episode, dude. Take care and I'll catch you soon.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Yeah, I forgot all about Castles and Crusades system, mainly because they don't have a skill system. Maybe that's why I forgot it. But I forgot, that's basically how they do, I believe, saves too, which is okay with me. It's almost, I mean, 5e does that too, but, you know, I don't like it because I tend to get mixed up. You know, is this a dex save or is this a dex, you know, a dex roll, regular dex roll? But Castles and Crusades seems to get around that by doing the stuff like, okay, if you're good at this, you get to add your level, which I think is great because at the beginning, they get a little bit of bonus. And then as they go up, they get a bigger and bigger bonus. It really, to me, reflects how skills get better over time and other things like that. I'm one who likes to have the, you know, I used to be this, secondary profession type thing. So that works out great that way. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Okay, today I wanted to ask you, how medieval is your fantasy campaign? And that's not a judgment call on my part. I'm just asking, how medieval is your fantasy campaign? There's the standard vanilla D&D campaign, which is kind of medieval. It's medieval adding fantastic monsters and magic into the mix, which is okay because you know, that's pretty much the way you see them in fantasy novels and things like that. But some people like to get a little more gritty with it. You know, magic is rare, if at all. Fantastic creatures, like for instance, the first time I saw something like that was the game Pendragon, where they're saying there's only as far as fantastic creatures go, as far as dragons go, there's only one dragon. That's the one that St. George fought, I think. But a legendary dragon, that's the stuff of legends. So you're not going to see dragons all over the place, which makes sense. And some people like to run it that way. Some people get mileage out of just using regular critters, you know, like bears and cougars and, you know, other regular things like that. And if there's magic involved, maybe they'll make a giant cougar or something, you know. Anyway, and I started thinking about this because I recently got a Blu-ray of the movie called Hexen, H-A-X-A-N. Now, this is a movie in the public domain. It's a silent movie from 1922. It's a Danish silent movie, and Hexen is Danish for witch. And they did, in, you know, they re-released it like 20 years later in a cut-down version in America here called The Witchcraft in the Real World or something like that. Anyway, it's a documentary about medieval witchcraft, and it shows what the beliefs of people, and it shows the witch hunts and how they dealt with witches back then, and making the argument, well, you know, people who were called witches back then, they may have just been hysterical, and it's a mental health thing. But it's a very, very graphic, I'm not too graphic, but, you know, there's a lot of, it's got a lot of fantasy sequence in there with like being down in hell with demons and all this other stuff. But I was more focused at the time. I mean, I liked that. That was very interesting. The filmmaker was really good. But I also looked at the medieval part and looked at it and go, wow, that's really neat the way they're, I mean, the whole atmosphere. That's the kind of thing I'd like to get in my D&D game. You know, get all these, you know, people like a witch carrying a bundle of sticks and guys working in slop and all this other, you know, the basic gritty fantasy type. It made me think of Bring Out Your Dead and Holy Grail. I think you get the idea. It was very, very vicarious. You can feel it. You can almost feel it. You know, and these people, you can almost smell them, if you know what I mean. And it was just, it's like, God, how do I get that kind of level of, you know, atmosphere in my game? Well, you're doing all the right things. I'm going to tell you right now, you're doing all the right things. I mean, if you use props, if you use like handouts and things like that, you don't have to, but I'm saying, but it all comes down to your sense of description. It just comes down to that, basically. Because you have to tell people, you're walking into this old woman's hut and you see a fire over there that's very warm and she's got a pot on there and something that smells awful. You don't know what's in there. Over here, there's a cat cleaning itself. And you see all these bottles of things that you're afraid to look at. And they're all dusty and what is that, eyeballs in there and stuff like that. That's the kind of thing you have to do with your players. You know, engage all the senses. As many senses as you can. If you have handouts and stuff, you know, age them and things like that. You know what to do with things like handouts and props. I've already talked about that. But all those combine together to get people immersed more in the game and gives it real atmosphere. That's the thing you got to look for. So, you know, just work on your, I mean, read some of these. You can probably see some things in the public. By the way, Hexen is in the public domain. I just happen to have a Blu-ray from Criterion. I watched a beautiful print, but you can go on the internet and watch Hexen too and other things like that. And, you know, if you just immerse yourself a little in that kind of stuff, you could probably bring it to the table. I'm always figuring out whatever I'm reading or watching, how do I bring this to the table? And it's the power of description, mostly. So there's that. All right, well, I'm going to go start my day.
If you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com, or you can drop a voicemail on Anchor. We are monetized, so as little as 99 cents a month. You too can help support this program, and I would thank you. Thanks again to Jonathan, Oliver, Gilbert, Juan Carlos, Daniel, Dan, Benjamin, Jason, John Allen, Michael, Randy, and Joe. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And there's also some good podcasts out there besides this. Dan Gregg's The Young, Y-U-N-G, Young Grognard Podcast. Mark C. Wallring's The Yawning Owlbear Podcast. Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries. Randy and Joe over at Bickus Geekus. And my friend Eric Tinkar's Tavern Chat. So, well, they're all my friends anyway. So if you guys want to talk, well, talk to me like I told you. But if I guess I'll see you guys. I'm just sort of rambling on right now. My tongue is taking over my brain, I think. Anyway. You guys, next time I see you guys, keep the dice warm, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Questions? Comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. We'll see you next time when Radio Grognard is on the air.